This is a Capricorn FM podcast.
Good evening, Capricorn FM listeners, and most importantly, my fellow economics learners. I'm still saying to you, welcome to yet another show of economics. Tonight, we're still going to continue with what we said we will continue with yesterday. The structure of paper one, that is section C, it's a continuation. That's what we're going to be doing. Still on the mic, it's Naftali Tema from Bokamoso Senior Secondary School in Capricorn South District, Petersburg Circuit. Even tonight, I'm still saying by Tuti Vamaramatlo, Hote Hote, Kuduwaudila Economics. Let's continue with our discussions in preparation for paper one. Last night, we talked about section A and B. Tonight, we're going to talk about section C in continuation of that paper. Remember the following. Excuse me. Remember the following, that paper one consists of two main topics, and those are macroeconomics, MA, macroeconomics, and economic pursuits. And under macroeconomics, we've got the following subtopics: circular flow, business cycles, public sector, and foreign exchange markets. That is for macroeconomics. Subtopics under macroeconomics. And then we also have subtopics under economic pursuits as follows: protectionism and free trade. It was initially under macroeconomics, but now it has been shifted to economic pursuits. We also have growth and development, industrial development policies, economic and social performance indicators. Those are subtopics under economic pursuits, and they all form part of paper one. So it is important that learners note that, because these are the topics that they should be able to prepare in making a preparation for paper one. Those are the topics to touch base with. And in preparation for this, learners are supposed to mark the following, that they should be able to prepare the entire paper, because for section A consists of 20% for the paper. It's 20% for the paper. And how do you calculate that 20%? It's actually 30 marks out of 150 marks. So of the 30 marks, that 30 marks gives you only 20% for section A. That is the 20% for section A in preparation for paper one. And then section B, you've got 53%, because it's 80 marks. It's 80 out of 150 marks. That makes it 53%. Whereas section C, which is your essay, consists of 27%. That is your section C. Section C consists of 27%. That is 40 marks out of 150 marks. That is what learners must take into consideration. Let's go to section C as a continuation. Remember, we did section A and B yesterday. Tonight, we're going to do section C, and then the action words. Section C consists of two questions, that is question 5 and 6, of which you as a candidate, you must only choose one. You must choose one. You do not write both questions. You write the one that you choose, which it might be question 5, in which case you won't write question 6. If you choose question 6, you won't write question 5. That must be clear. And one other thing that I have realized is that most learners usually write question, they leave it like that. They don't indicate which question they are choosing. It is important that you write which question you choose. If you check question 5, you must indicate as such. Section C, underline it. Beneath it, you write question 5 if you're taking question 5. And if you're taking question 6, you must also indicate to say question 6. You must not keep the markers guessing. to say which question is this one answering. You must be specific to say you're answering question five, because other learners find it they sometimes they become so clever to say they don't indicate which question they are writing, and then along the way they mix up the topics, and then as such you find it very confusing to mark, because you wouldn't know which question is are they actually answering. So it is important that you indicate on top there to say you are in section C, you are taking question 5, or you are taking question 6 if you are taking question 6. So you must indicate. Do not just leave it like that. It is important that you indicate, my fellow learners. Now for section C, which is your essay type of questions, that's where you will find, in most cases, they will say discuss. Like, for example, with the question paper that I have right now, it says, discuss the role of markets in the circular flow. That is for 26 marks. You must remember that the question consists of 40 marks. You need to write for 40 marks. In this fashion, you've got 2 marks for your introduction, 26 marks for the whole body with different subheadings, which I'm going to show you not so long. You also have got the additional part of 10 marks, which is the most burning issue in most cases. Learners don't find it very comfortable, this additional mark, because it's a high-order question, which you need to be versatile when answering such kind of a question. And you also have got 2 marks for your conclusion. That makes it 40. That is 2 marks introduction, 26 marks, maximum of 26 marks for your body with different subheadings, the additional part of 10 marks, and then 2 marks for conclusion. That is, in most cases, that's how it should be. So, in most cases, it says discuss. This one says discuss the role of markets in the circular flow. That is for 26 marks. And then the additional part says, how can the business sector contribute more positively to the economy? That is for 10 marks. This is a high order question. How can the business sector contribute more positively to the economy? That is for additional part of 10 marks. Learners must note the following. The essay type of a question is divided into this kind of a structure. We've got introduction. In most cases, introduction is a low order response. So a good way of starting your essay will be to define the main concept that is on question, or the concept related to the question topic. And in so doing, you do not include any part of the question in your introduction. That means your introduction must have the explanation on the matter of question. In other words, the question that is asked, you must be defining it. So you are not going to repeat any part of it in your body. So you must also avoid saying whatever that you are going to discuss. You are not going to tell the reader that you are going to discuss about this particular thing. You actually define what is in question in 1 or 2 sentences, and then that should be your introduction. That is for 2 marks after all. 2 marks for 1 sentence will do in your introduction. Then you skip a line, you go to the body. So your body consists of 2 parts. That is the main part, that is for maximum of 26 marks, and then the additional part of 10 marks, like I already told you. So the main part, you're going to discuss in detail or in depth. You're going to give an in-depth discussion. You can either discuss, it will depend on what the question says, discuss, examine, or you critically discuss. Sometimes you will be asked to analyze or compare, evaluate or distinguish, differentiate, explain. You will also be expected to plot a graph, maybe, or use the information given to evaluate your discussion. So you use the graph sometimes you can be asked to use a graph, and from your graph you will be able to tell a story out of it. It may be in the form of a graph or a whatever that is given. And that is for 26 marks. The additional part, that in most cases, the question will be straight to the point, to say you give your own opinion, or you can also critically discuss. You can also evaluate. We'll check a question that says evaluate. You critically evaluate. Sometimes you calculate or you deduce. You compare, explain, you distinguish, interpret, or debate. Or sometimes you can also be asked to suggest or construct a graph to explain your argument. That is for 10 marks. That is an additional part. And then the conclusion. Conclusion is any high order conclusion. In other words, you're giving a closing remark, a powerful sentence, that which should close your argument. In whatever the discussion that you shall have taken, you must give a brief summary of what you've been discussing without having to repeat facts that are already mentioned in your discussion. You can also give your own opinion or a value judgment on that fact that is already discussed. Or you can give an additional support of the information just to strengthen and give a valid point to your discussion or your analysis. Or you can also give a contradictory viewpoint with, of course, a motivation. You must always substantiate as to why you say things that you are saying. That is giving evidence and support towards your argument. I would like us to go through this essay that I have in front of me. It says, discuss the role of markets in the circular flow. That is for 26 marks. And how can the business sector contribute more positively to the economy? That is for 10 marks. The other 2 marks are hidden. The other 4 marks, actually. 2 marks, we said, is for introduction, and the other 2 for conclusion. But it's not mentioned. It's not mentioned in your essay. But you must just know that you must have introduction for 2 marks and then the conclusion for 2 marks. That makes it 4. 4 plus 26 plus 10 makes it 40 marks. And the discussion goes like this. We said you must have an introduction. Introduction. The question is all about the role of markets in the circular flow. So introduction, you must discuss or define what a market is. So you can also give a viewpoint of what market does. Market coordinate economic activities and determine prices for goods and services. In a simpler term, somebody can say market is a place or a situation or a circumstance wherein buyers and sellers meet in order to exchange goods and services or information about buying and selling. Can also go further to say the circular flow model is a simplified representation of the interaction between the participants of the economy. If you say something related to this, that should be acceptable, and that should earn you a maximum of 2 marks. That is for your introduction. An eye-catching essay is the one that have that is so neat. After writing introduction, you skip a line and you write your introduction. You skip another line, then you go to the main part. You do not have to squeeze your words there, your sentences. They must be clear to say this should be seen as an introduction. This one is the main part. The main part. Remember, we said your body must come with different subheadings. In this case, because you are discussing the role of markets, then you're going to say, you start with the first one, goods market. That should earn you a mark, goods market, mentioning a goods market, or product market, or output market. Any of those will suffice. If you can either say goods market, product market, or output market, that should earn you at least 1 mark. Then, in a point 4, you discuss this goods market. These are markets for consumer goods and services. So in economics, distinction is made between goods and services. Goods are defined as any tangible items such as food, clothing, and cars that would satisfy some human needs and wants. That is another point. Going to another point, using bullet points, buying and selling of goods that are produced in the market include, for example, capital goods market for trading of buildings and machinery. Another bullet point, you'd say, consumer goods market for trading of durable consumer goods. Like the goods are divided into, for example, consumer goods. We have durable consumer goods, I mean, semi-durable goods and non-durable goods. And we also have services as well. So you must mention such. Durable goods are goods that last for a long period of time, like a house, car tires, and so on. Semi-durable goods are goods that last a little longer, like clothes. Sometimes they are going to worn out. And non-durable goods are goods that do not last for a long period of time. They are non-durable, like food. Once you use them, they are used up. And we also have services. Services are defined as non-tangible actions and include wholesale, retail, transport, and even financial markets. Those are part of the consumer goods. And then you also mentioned the flows. The flow of private and public goods and services are real flows that are accompanied by counter flows of expenditure and taxes on the product markets. So basically, it simply means that there will always be two flows, the real flow and the money flow. The money flow is the flow of money towards whom is selling. And then the real flow is the flow of goods and services, because there must be an exchange between the two parties. We also have got, you skip a line, you go to factor market. That is another kind of a market. That should earn you a mark. It's another subheading. Factor market, or a resource market, or input market. That's another market. Factors of production are bought and sold in this factor market. That is first bullet point. The factor market includes labor, property, and financial markets. That's another point. In point form, of course, factor services are real flows, and they are accompanied by counterflows of income on the factor market. That is the one that I've already mentioned, that there will always be two flows, the real flow and the money flow. They are not directly involved in production of goods and services, but act as a link between households, the business sector, and other participants with surplus funds. And then banks, insurance companies, and pension funds form part of this financial market. That is a financial market. That's another point that should earn you some marks. To say financial market, and then you earn a mark for that, and then you mention what type of a market is this one. And we also have got the other one called money market. Financial market and money market are not the same in this case. So they are different. Let us take an ad break for now, and we shall continue immediately afterwards. Welcome back from the ad. Let us continue. I was saying before the break to say money market and the financial market are not the same in this case. What is money market? So you'll find that in the money market, short-term loans and very short-term funds, less than at least 3 years, are saved and borrowed in this market by consumers and businesses. Products sold in this market are, for example, bank debentures, treasury bills, and even government bonds. My fellow learners must go and research as to what are we talking about by this type of things that we're mentioning right now. Like, what is a debenture, debentures, treasury bills, and even government bonds. You must go and research, my fellow learners, and find out more to beef up your knowledge. That is a money market as one of the markets in a secular flow. Another thing that I must also mention, my fellow learners, is that when a question is like this, to say discuss the role of markets in the secular flow, other learners would find themselves writing about the secular flow in terms of the participants. And that will be wrong, because now the question is all about the market. You must discuss the role of markets in a secular flow, not the participants in the market. When they say discuss participants in the market, that's when we talk about the households, businesses, government, and even the foreign sector in an open sector economy, open economy. So in this case, the question is all about the role of markets in a secular flow. So it means learners must read through their questions carefully before they can answer. Another thing that we can mention under the money market is that South African Reserve Bank is the key institution in this case. That is, SARB, as the central bank, is the key institution in the money market, because they are capable of printing out money, the bank notes and coins that we know, that are responsible in the money supply in an economy. And we know what we're talking about by money supply in an economy. That would include your M1, your M2s, and the M3s. And I should think so far my fellow learners knows exactly what we're talking about in as far as money supply is concerned. Another market is capital market. In the capital market, long-term funds, that is for over a period of 3 years or even longer, are borrowed and saved by consumers and businesses. That is in the capital market. And then the key institution under the capital market is the Johannesburg Stock Exchange in the capital market. Products sold in this market are things like mortgage bond and shares. If you don't know what this means, my fellow learners, go and find out and conduct your own research. What do we mean by mortgage bond and even shares? You must go and find out. And then you also have the foreign exchange market. Now we can talk about a foreign exchange market, because it is a market. It's one of the markets in a circular flow. Foreign exchange market. On the foreign exchange market, businesses buy or even sell foreign currencies to pay for imported goods and services. That's where you hear words such as importing, exporting. These transactions occur in banks and consist of electronic money transfer, the EFT, from one account to the other, electronic funds transfer. And the most important foreign exchange markets are, for example, London, New York, and Tokyo. And that's where South African rand is traded freely in these markets when a person buys a traveler's check to travel abroad. Imports and exports are the real flow, and they are accompanied by counter flow of expenditure and revenue on the foreign exchange market. So if you have discussed anything along those lines, that should earn you a maximum of 26 marks. And then you go to the additional part. You skip a line, you write the additional part, and you go consider that question. Let's check the question, what the question said about on the additional part. It says, how can the business sector contribute more positively to the economy? That is for 10 marks. How can business sector contribute more positively to the economy? That is for 10 marks. They can do, amongst other things, the following. Investing more in labor-intensive projects, which focus on the service training and skills development of workers. That's what amongst other things that businesses can do. Reinvesting their profits in gross capital formation programs to form new capital. Buying of equipment, tools, transportation assets, and electricity. That's amongst other things that they can do. Expanding their business operations, and investing in latest technology to ensure an upliftment of the quality of factors of production needed for production. that is to improve their productive capacity. By diversifying their businesses operation in by bringing in a differentiated product offering within or outside the range they produce. By supporting South African businesses, local businesses, supporting South African businesses in terms of procuring raw materials and increase the market share for South African produced goods and services locally and even abroad. That's what the business can do. Ensuring the existence of sound business principles towards long-term involvement in the economy, leading to a positive economic growth rate. They can also use loans to invest in capital goods like machinery to ensure mass production at a lower cost, thus improving their competitiveness. In other words, by operating at economies of scale, where in the long run average cost decreases as the productive capacity increases. And that way they can maximize their productivity. And that is your additional part. And then you skip another line, you go to conclusion. Then that's where I said you must give a powerful statement in closing for your discussion. That should earn you another 2 marks. Markets are critically important institutions in our economic systems because they regulate themselves and to safeguard price stability as one of the macroeconomic objectives and general business confidence. That is your conclusion. And that should earn you 40 marks. That is to mention, but amongst other things, this type of points. Yeah, so in most cases, you are required, in your essay type of questions, you are required to discuss, critically discuss. And then I want us to go through a question that says evaluate. The main question here is discuss the aims and objectives of following growth and development policies. And those are RDP and GEAR, that is Reconstruction and Development Program, Growth, Employment and Redistribution, that is for 26 marks. But I want us to concentrate on the additional part of it, which says evaluate the success of the two policies. Before you evaluate something, you should be in and know of that particular thing, which means you cannot evaluate anything that you don't know. You evaluate something that which we've got an inside of. So it means you must go through these two policies first before you can start to evaluate, because evaluate means something else. Evaluate simply means either make a value judgment based on a criteria that is supplied or a criteria that you think are important. In other words, you have to state the grounds for your value judgment. So evaluation usually implies comparison and should always be substantiated with facts, of course. That is based on a soundly formulated reasons. An evaluation usually contains a concluding summary. That's what you must do when you evaluate. So before you could evaluate, you should be in a know of what is it that you're going to evaluate. In this case, it says, discuss the aims and objectives of following growth and development policies, and those are Reconstruction and Development Program, Growth, Employment and Redistribution. You need to evaluate this. So before we evaluate, let us check what do they mean or what are they for, these policies. So RDP was considered as the primary socioeconomic program in 1994. The broader aim of this socioeconomic policy was to establish more equal society through reconstruction and development, as well as strengthening democracy for all the South Africans. That is the RDP program. So RDP is aimed at the following objectives. South Africa family on the road to eliminate hunger. Providing land and housing to all the people. That is, amongst other things, what it stands for. Providing this access to safe water and sanitation for all people living in South Africa. Ensuring the availability of affordable and sustainable energy resources, eliminating illiteracy, raising the quality of education and training for children and even that of adults, protecting the environment, making sure that the environment is safe and secure, improving the health services and making them accessible to all. In other words, better life for all. That is what it stands for. Whereas on the other side, growth, employment, and redistribution program, that is GEAR, was a macroeconomic strategy implemented in 1996. And it aims at doing the following: strengthening economic development, broadening of employment, redistribution of income and social opportunities in favor of the poor to safeguard those who were neglected previously, maybe because of apartheid and other stuff. Then it stands for redress policy. It is a kind of a redress policy to address the past imbalances. So the key roles of this GEAR were to increase the economic growth of at least by 6% in the year 2000, and also to ensure that the inflation rate is within target range. Do you know what is the target range of inflation in South Africa, my fellow learners? Employment growth above increase in economically active population, and deficit on the current account and the balance of payment between 2 and 3%. Improving in income distribution, to have a fair income distribution. Relaxation of the exchange controls and the reduction of budget deficit to below 4% of the GDP. So if you are to evaluate such, you are now in a better position to do so, because you've got an insight what the RDP stands for as a policy, and what is it aiming at, also that of GEAR. So now you are in a better position to evaluate it. Can you, my fellow learners? So when you evaluate, it's either you're going to go for or against. So if you go for, you will substantiate with facts. If you go against, you still substantiate with facts. So let's check. RDP was successful in some areas. That is the affirmative side. RDP was successful in some areas. Like, for example, housing between 1994 and 2001 increased, and more people were able to be accommodated. And then especially the poor people were able to access housing. And then they were subsidized by government. Clear water. By the beginning of 1998, standpipes had been installed within 200 meters of the dwelling of about 1.3 million rural people. So by the year 2000, a total of 236 projects had supplied clean piped water to nearby 4.9 million people. Electrification. Between 1994 and 2000, around 1.75 million homes had been connected to the national grid, while proportion of rural homes with electricity grew from 12% to 42%. That is better, actually. Land reform. Authorities claim that 250,000 people had received land within 4 years. What about healthcare? Between 1994, April, and the end of 1998, around 500 new clinics gave an additional 5 million people access to primary healthcare facilities. Free healthcare programs were implemented for pregnant women and small children, and free meals were provided between 3.5 to 5 million school children, the NSNP at schools, National Nutrition Program at schools. And most people call it the feeding scheme. That is in a layman's language. Social security. The government established a very extensive welfare system through SARS, of course. The system catered for the aged, disabled, children in need, and foster parents, and many other poor people. They had to be engulfed so that they can reach their basic social requirements. The expanded public works program were mostly labor intensive. This helped to alleviate unemployment and, of course, poverty as well. Those are when we evaluate. That is for in favor of RDP. What about against? RDP was not successful in some areas. So real GDP, growth erratic since 1994. Unemployment in informal sector also increased, especially in the second economy. So key objectives of poverty reduction and improved service delivery were hardly successful. Housing. Inferior quality houses were built. In 2000, only 30% of RDP houses were within building regulations. What about land reforms? Only 1% of redress was achieved. And then what about that of healthcare? Access to healthcare only improved slightly under RDP. Usage of healthcare facilities increased by just 1.6% between 1995 and 1999. Can you be able to evaluate this one, my fellow learners? Where you are seated, what took place then? Go and find out. Also, the AIDS pandemic and other health epidemics, such as malaria, affected the progress. So life expectancy of South Africans were somehow sacrificed. And then it fell from, say, 64 years to 53. That is life expectancy. So this shows that RDP, to some extent, was not successful. That's how we evaluate, either for or against. And you must substantiate with facts. And then in conclusion, it appears that RDP ignored the gathering of new taxes, rather focusing far too narrowly on fiscal prudence and the reallocation of existing revenues. I would like us to take an ad break, and then we shall continue the last lap of our discussion for tonight. Welcome back to tonight's last lap of the lesson. I want us to take another question that says analyze. I want us to go through analyze. Analyze elements of NDP. This is an additional part for 10 marks. We remember we said additional parts are considered to be high order questions and they need learners to be on their toes when answering such questions. Analyze. What is to analyze? Analyze simply means to consider a theme or a topic carefully to find out what it consists of, that is, its components or elements, to indicate the relation between elements and to identify the principles in terms of which the elements are organized, that is, to analyze. Let me repeat. Consider a theme or a topic carefully to find out what it consists of, that is, its components or elements, to indicate the relations between the elements and to identify the principles in terms of which the elements are organized. That is to analyze. Now this question says, analyze elements of NDP, National Development Plan. And we said this is an additional part. Infrastructure expansion with investment in 5 key fiscal and social infrastructural areas. The agricultural value chain by addressing the high cost of fertilizers and do the input and promotion of processing and exporting market. Mining value chain by increasing the mineral extraction, improving infrastructure, skills development, and support the beneficiation on the final manufacture of consumer and capital goods. Do you let us know what beneficiation is? I'd like you to go and research. Energy, wind energy, and biofuels. Manufacturing sector through innovation, strong skills development, reduced input cost, and increased research and development investments. Also, the tourism and certain high-level services improved. That is just to give you a glimpse of what we mean when we say analyze. Sometimes a question can say, how successful is South Africa's regional development in terms of their benchmark criteria? How successful? That is still to analyze. How successful is South Africa's regional development in terms of their benchmark criteria? So you check the success of South Africa's regional development in terms of the benchmark criteria. It can either be a success and or not. So you're going to expand. South Africa has been successful by, you check the following points. Intervening in industries was based on sound economic research and analysis, which leads to growth. They were providing subsidies and incentives, which enabled substantial progress and growth in the upgrading of value-adding and labor-intensive manufacturing sectors. By achieving a greater success in combating customs fraud and targeting illegal imports and products of inferior quality through import restrictions. Aligning trade policy with industrial policy took place, which resulted in South African industries being more competitive in global markets. That those are the successes of this regional development in terms of benchmark criteria. What about the against? South Africa has not been so successful based on the following. Fraud and corruption are still applicable and inferior goods are still produced. And also growth is declining due to non-availability of financial assistance or even the skilled employees. So that those serve as a challenge for the success in terms of regional development, in terms of benchmark criteria for South Africa. And that was that, just to give you a picture of what is expected of you when you find words such as those. We're going to go through the action words, and those action words should help you to understand questions better so that you can respond promptly and be spot on and towards the point. Before we do that, I want us to go through certain paper one possible essay type of questions. But you must also note the fact that we said essay makes only 27% of your paper, because it is actually 40 marks out of 150. That makes it 27% of the entire paper. And then section B carries 53%. That is, those are your data response. And question section A, which is the compulsory one, carries 20%. So in so doing, does not necessarily mean that you should only concentrate on your essays only, because that makes only 27%. So you are also required to go and check other sections of the question paper. I'm just giving you some lights in terms of which are the possible essay type of questions. The first one we talked about is that one of the role of markets in the circular flow. And it also, for additional part, it says, how can the business sector contribute more positively to the economy? That is 10 marks for additional part. And the other one, still on paper one, it's all about business cycle. Discuss in detail new economic paradigm, which is embedded or rooted in demand and supply side policies to influence the economy. This was also asked in your preliminary exam question as one of the essay type of a question. Why is it impossible to achieve zero unemployment and low inflation rate in an economy? Those are the questions for paper one, amongst others. That is for business cycle. The other one, it may say, discuss in detail features of underpinning forecasting. Discuss in detail the features of underpinning forecasting. That is for 26 marks. We already know where the other 2 marks is coming from. That is for introduction and your conclusion. And then for additional part, it says, explain the effect of demand-side policies on South African economy. That is for 10 marks. Those are the possible exam questions. And exam questions for your essay. The other one says, discuss in detail the main objectives of the public sector in the economy. That is for 26 marks. How can government reduce public sector failure more efficiently? That is for 10 marks. Another one, discuss in detail the reasons for public sector failure. And you are required to link them to typical problems experienced through public sector provisioning. That is for 26 marks. 10 marks, additional part. How can the South African municipalities improve efficiency in service delivery? That is a high-order question and requires you to know your own country, what is happening in your own country, in your own space where you are living in terms of evaluation towards the municipalities. So you must know what is actually happening in terms of service delivery in your own place where you stay, my fellow learners. And that's how you're going to be make value judgment, because you know exactly what is taking place in your own space. The other one says, discuss in detail the supply reasons for international trade, 26 marks. How effective is international trade in the world of the economy markets? How effective is international trade in the world of the economy? The other one says, discuss in detail the demand reasons for international trade. That is for 26 marks. The other 10 marks, additional part, examine the impact of mass production on international trade. The other one, for protectionism and free trade, discuss export promotion as part of the South Africa's international trade policy under the following headings. Reasons for 8 marks, methods 10 marks, disadvantages 8 marks. And then the additional part says, how can a country be disadvantaged through import substitution? That is 10 marks. The other question is, discuss in detail the argument in favor of protectionism, 26 marks. And then the additional part says, in your opinion, how can government use subsidies to ensure that local industries are protected against unfair competition from abroad? The other question, for economic growth and development, discuss in detail the demand-side approach in promoting growth and development in South Africa. Explain the key objectives of Black Economic Empowerment Program. The other one, discuss the aims and objectives of the following growth and development policies. That is the RDP, the growth, employment and redistribution. That is for 26 marks. After that, the additional part says, evaluate the success of these 2 policies. Those are the possible essay type of questions, my fellow learners, and take note of them. Discuss the following policies: priority areas of new growth path, phases of national skills development strategy for 26 marks. Explain the aims of these 2 policies. That is your additional part for 10 marks. Discuss in detail the following policies of growth and development in South Africa. Accelerated Growth Initiative for South Africa, that is ASKISA. The Joint Initiative on Priority Skills Acquisition, that is GIPSA, 26 marks. Analyze elements of NDP. We've already touched base with this one. Discuss South Africa's initiative or endeavors in regional development. That is for 26 marks. And the additional 10 marks. How successful is South Africa's regional development in terms of their benchmark criteria? For economic and social indicators, it says discuss in detail the following economic indicators: inflation rate, foreign trade, employment, productivity, interest rate, money supply, That is for 26 marks. And the additional part, how successful is South Africa? South African Reserve Bank in stabilizing prices on the different market as its main objective. How successful is the South African Reserve Bank in stabilizing prices on the different market as its main objective? That is for 10 marks. Discuss in detail social indicators. That is for 26 marks. How successful has the South African government been promoting economic development through use of these indicators? Those are amongst other topics that may appear, that amongst other things that which questions can appear to be as essay type of questions, since we are dealing with section C of the question paper. Let us quickly go through to the action words, which I still promise to say we are going to have this word again when we are going to be preparing for paper 2. Let's have this word. Analyze. Says, consider a theme or a topic carefully to find out what it consists of, its components or elements, to indicate the relations between the elements and to identify the principles in terms of which the elements are organized. Compare, point out similarities and or differences between aspects. Contrast, to pull out differences. Criticize, make a judgment, either a positive or a negative one, about theories or opinions and give reasons or evidence to support your judgment. Define, when you define, explain the meaning of a term in no more than a sentence or a short paragraph. You may have to consider a number of definitions before arriving at a substantiated decision on the precise meaning you will attach to the term in the relevant assignment or your discussion. Describe. Give an account of the characteristic or properties of an issue in such a way that the reader can recognize it. Discuss. Sometimes it says, in most cases, your essay says, critically discuss or discuss in detail. When you discuss, you consider a matter from various points of view or explanations and give supportive evidence. This involves weighing up arguments for and or against something. Distinguish. Show the difference between two or more aspects. Evaluate. Either make a value judgment based on criteria that are supplied or criteria that you think are important. You have to state the grounds for your value judgment. Examine. Deal with the topic in detail and investigate the implications. Explain. A complete and a clear answer is required when you explain. Your answer must clarify or interpret and even explain the topic in question. And you can also give examples to support that. Identify, recognize a phenomenon or a matter or a concept as being a specific category. Illustrate, explain and clarify an issue or a topic by using concrete examples. Indicate, give a proof or evidence in support of some of other matters on your point of view. Justify, show sufficient ground for your decision or conclusion. Name, you simply draw up a list of names. Outline, give the main feature or general principle of the subject, leaving out minor details and emphasizing structure and relationship. Substantiate, give reasons for your argument or the statement, or you also be required to prove that you are saying so. Summarize, give a short account of the main points of the matter, or leaving out details and examples. Trace, present event or stages of processes in order. This should mark the end of our discussion for tonight, and we shall meet again when we prepare for paper 2. Good luck for your paper 1, and good night.
That was a Capricorn FM podcast. For more podcasts, visit capricornfm.co.za.